Know that this morning I'm going to be going through a lot of scripture. So you're just going to get frustrated if you try to follow along with me as I'm all over the scriptures this morning. So I encourage you, just listen, take it in. All the scriptures are listed in your bulletin and the worship guide. And you can return to those this afternoon if you like, and this week as you contemplate and consider and apply the sermon to your life this week. We are continuing our path of discipleship. Last week we talked about the first thing that God calls us to do in obedience to Him when we become a Jesus follower is to be baptized. And I believe the second thing He calls us to do as a believer is to join a local body of believers. Why is that important? What is biblical church membership, and why is it important to our discipleship, our growth as a Christian? I think about the first time I really realized what church membership was, why it was important, and the power of it was when I was a teenager. My parents got a divorce when I was age 10, and parents usually in that situation argue about all kinds of different things, the house, the dog, the beach house, the cars, whatever it might be. For my family, it was our church. So our church is where we grew up. We loved our church. It was an instrumental part of everything that we were. And I don't know if this was the right decision or not, but my parents decided, since neither one of them, it wasn't fair for either one of them to get it, to be able to stay at that church and the other one not. So they both decided they would both find new churches. And so that was devastating to us, of course, but we went, and my mom took us to Mount Carmel Baptist Church. But the strange thing about Mount Carmel Baptist Church is it was meeting in my high school, which was really strange. We were having Bible study class where I would normally have social studies. We met for worship in the auditorium where we would normally have an assembly of some sort. It was really, really weird. But what had happened was Mount Carmel Baptist Church, their building, had burned to the ground in a terrible fire. All that was left was just some of the mason work around the outside. Everything else was completely destroyed. And so they were meeting in our high school. And I encountered something that I had never encountered before. This group of people that were meeting in that church were committed to one another. They were committed to a purpose. They were all in. They were going to do everything they could to remain to be Mount Carmel Baptist Church, regardless of where they met. They were all in with each other. They were all into the single focus of being about what God had called them to be, and they were going to rebuild on that site where that church had burned down. And they wanted everyone as possible to be part of it. We wanted to be part of it. Here was a group of people committed, absolutely committed to each other, to Christ, and the purpose and the goals that He had set before them. And it was an incredible thing to witness and to then be a part of. What is a church? You know, you never hear of a Buddhist church or a Jewish church. The word church is a thoroughly Christian concept. It's not a building. A church is simply where the church meets. A church actually never had a building till 300 years after its inception. Think about that. The church is not a group of people who attend worship services in a building. You might be attending this worship service, but that doesn't make you part of this church, doesn't make you a member. Just because you attend worship doesn't make you a member. Attending a church and being a member are two different things. Now, the scripture does talk about the worldwide church. When you become a Jesus follower, you are part of the worldwide church. But overwhelmingly, almost 90% of the time, when the word church is used in Scripture, it is talking about a local body of committed believers in a certain location. We know that a church is not just a group of people who live in a certain area. Our brothers and sisters in the Catholic faith, if you move into an area, you are just automatically part of that church. As a matter of fact, in Europe, our Baptist forefathers came to the United States because of the state church. If you lived in a certain area, you were just automatically part of the state church. And so our Baptist forefathers, that went against everything that they believed. They believed that a church was a committed group of believers who chose to worship together in the way that they saw fit, the way that they felt was biblical. And so they came to the United States so they might do that. That's why Baptists, if you didn't know, are foundational, even when the Constitution was being written, to influence Thomas Jefferson and to include the separation of church and state. We believe that a church is a body of believers who voluntarily commit to each other and to Christ, that we are going to be the body of Christ in this place. So what is the definition of a church? You've got that's your first note in our sermon notes. The church is the body of Christ, the local collection of Christians committed to Christ and to each other. Notice the emphasis of committed to Christ. If you're not a Christian, you cannot be a member of a church. And then secondly, committed to each other. There's a commitment that must be made to be part of a local body of believers. Now we're going to talk about what that commitment looks like and what is biblical commitment. But let's talk about why we need to join a church. Why join a church? Membership in organizations is kind of passé today. The new generation coming up doesn't want anything to do with groups, organized groups. It used to be you grew up and our parents and grandparents were part of the Rotary Club, the Kiwanis Club, the Lions Club. It was you were part of different organizations. Nowadays, people growing up don't want to be part of larger organizations. That's why many churches are removing the names of their denominations out of their church names and their signs. Because people are so adverse to being part of larger organizations. Why is it important? Some interdenominational churches don't even have church membership. If you just gather and you like what's going on, you'll be there, you'll give, you'll participate, but if you don't, we just assume you'll move on. And the leadership makes all the decisions. Is that biblical? Why join a church? Let me give you several reasons. One, the entire New Testament is written for Christians to live out their faith in the context of a local church. In the context of a local church. Besides the Gospels, every single one of those epistles is written to a church. If it's written to James or to Peter, they're leaders of a church. And every instruction, every scripture given, is given to believers who are living out their faith in the context of a church. You love 1 Corinthians 13? So do I. But it wasn't written for you to have read at your wedding. 1 Corinthians 13 was written to a church and how they were to behave towards one another because they were facing disunity. You love the verse, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me? Well, that verse is written for you to live out in the context of a church. If you're using it outside the context of the church, you're misusing it. Everything written in the New Testament is written for believers to live out their faith in the context of a local church. Second reason we should join a church is for assurance. You don't join a church to be saved, but you do join a church to help make certain that you are saved. When we are part of a church, we receive affirmation that we're walking in right relationship with Christ. Consider these verses. John 13, 17. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. John 14, 21. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. John 15, 10 through 14. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, just as you have kept my Father's commands and abide in his love. Verse 14. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Obedience is the number one characteristic of a Christ follower. And most of our obedience is to be lived out in the context of other believers. He calls us throughout the Scriptures, and if we want to be obedient, these are the things we need to do. We need to be committed to other believers. We need to be accountable to other believers. We need to serve other believers. We need to encourage other believers. We need to love other believers. We need to lock arms with them and spread the gospel, be the hands and feet of God. This is what God commands us to do. And being a member of a church, we're grasping hands with others so that we might know each other and be known. And we can't do any of the things I've listed above without a body of believers around us and being committed to them. Third reason we should join a church is for evangelism. The church, His local body of believers, is God's number one plan. It's His A plan to reach the world, to bring the world into relationship with Him. It is His number one plan. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. I have used this verse almost every week for the last 5 weeks or so. And Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I'm with you to the end of the age." Those are all corporate activities. Baptizing them, teaching them. Evangelism is to be a corporate activity, and it helps us be better evangelists. When you're part of a church, you get to be a part of something that took place last night. You help make an evangelistic event. You might have just helped serve hot dogs or kept people from killing each other in the bouncy house. But the gospel was presented. People heard the gospel. And you were part of that. Being part of a church helps us do that. When you're part of a church, you have somebody, you can invite somebody to come and hear the gospel on Sunday morning. When you're part of a church, you have a Bible study class that you can invite somebody who's lost or you're one so they can hear the gospel. When you have a fellowship activity with your Bible study class, you can invite somebody. It helps you to be evangelistic. The fourth reason we should join a church is for a true gospel presentation. As we interact with other Christians, we're showing the world what the gospel is. We're showing other people that we need a Savior. And we need other Christians. Have you ever heard the phrase, you know, the church is just full of hypocrites, full of sinners. Why should I be part of that? You know what I say when people say that to me? I say, you're exactly right. But the world's full of hypocrites and sinners as well, isn't it? Not? But you know what's different about people who come to church? They realize they need a Savior. They realize they can't do it on their own. They realize they need somebody to help them out of their brokenness. And together, we seek after God with all that we are to work our way out of that brokenness. And it presents the gospel to those around us. The fifth reason we should join a church is for building up of the church. Joining a church counteracts individualism that every single one of us fights, lost or not. It helps us realize the corporate nature of Christianity. We are called to build up the church. That's why He gifted you. That's why He's given you the spiritual gifts He gave you, so you might build up the church. 1 Corinthians 14:12 says, "So with yourselves, since you are eager for the manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church." If you sing and you're not using that gift to build up the church, you're misusing your gift. If you have the gift of hospitality and you're not using that gift to serve the church and make others feel welcome in the church, you're misusing your gift. If you have the talent or the skills to be a financial person and you're not using that to help the church, you're misusing your gift, because He gave us those gifts for the number one purpose that we're to be a part of, to be part of His church and to change the world. If you have teaching skills and you're not using it to build up the church, you're misusing your gifting. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 says this, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near." God gifts us. He gives us our skills, our experiences to build up the church. 6, we join a church for God's glory. 1 Peter 2:12 says, "Keep your conduct amongst the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation." When we work out our salvation in the midst of other believers who are flawed, who are fighting sin right along with us, who are being transformed by the Holy Spirit through the church, when we're meeting the needs of others and sharing the gospel, God is glorified. When we came together last night to serve our community, old and young people, doing all kinds of different things, we were glorifying God through what we did. When you come in this place and you study God's Word together, even though you come from different backgrounds, poor amongst the rich, God receives glory through that. When we come from different, even religious backgrounds, somebody who's grown up in the church, or somebody who's new from the church, or somebody who came from a Catholic background, or a Methodist background, or Presbyterian background, and we come together and we study God's Word together and we apply it to our lives, God receives glory through that. When we are diverse in how we look, even in our politics, when we're diverse in our ethnic background, and we come together and be His church and do it together, God receives the glory. So we've established that we're called to join a church. What does church membership that is biblical look like? What does it look like? Well, the first thing is that it is initiated by baptism. It's initiated by baptism. We already talked about that last week. The initiation into the body of Christ is baptism. When we baptize somebody as a church, we're saying, yes, we, the body here, recognize that you have given your life to Jesus Christ and you are following Him. It's initiated by baptism. Second, it's affirmed by the Lord's Supper. It's affirmed by the Lord's Supper. If baptism initiates us into the church, the act of taking the Lord's Supper shows and affirms our continual covenant or commitment to the relationships that we have in church. By taking the Lord's Supper, not only are we saying, yes, I'm at one with Christ, but I'm at one with this body of believers that I've committed to as well. That's why Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11, 24 through 29. He writes this, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." Paul says we need to consider the body of Christ, this body of Christ, when we take the Lord's Supper. One, is there somebody that we're at odds with, that we need to be reconciled with? We need to consider that first. That's more important to being reconciled than even taking place part of a worship ceremony. Then he says, are you in right relationship with the church? If you're not in right relationship with the church, maybe through your church membership or another reason, Maybe you should abstain from taking the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is a continued affirmation that yes, I'm at one with this body of believers. Three, biblical church membership is committed. We make a commitment. We say, this is what I'm coveting to do. We make a promise. I'm going to do certain things. We're called to be committed to the beliefs of the church that we're part of, committed to the work of the church we're a part of, commit to work towards unity, commit to support the church financially with our time and our resources. Just as you commit to work to a marriage when you enter it. When you join in a marriage, you're committing to make it work, aren't you? You're committing your time, your financial resources, your energy, your attention. You're committing to work, to make it work. The same is true for a church. When we join a church, we're committing to make it work. Many churches will have membership classes. We do as well. For the last 7 years, one of the first things that I pushed that we should do as a church is to have a membership class. For the last 7 years, anyone who's come to join the church has been gone through a membership class. That way, every single person knows what biblical membership looks like, knows what's expected of them as members, and we can also know and affirm that, yes, they are followers of Jesus Christ. They can share their testimony. You wouldn't join any other organization unless you knew what was expected of you, would you? If you were going to join a YMCA, you would want to know what it costs you each month and what would be required. If you join the Lions Club or any other civic organization, you want to know what is required of you. Why is it any different for a church? Since I have been here at Flint Hill Baptist Church, we recommitted to our church covenant. So everybody could know who joins the church, what is expected of a church member. So for the last 7 years, anybody who's joined the church, if you have in the last 7 years, you and I went over the church covenant together. Now if you've been here before I came 8 years ago, you may not even know what the church covenant is. It may not be put before you as much as it should be. Well, we'll fix that. It's in your bulletin. If you'll pull it out, we're going to read it together. What do we expect of church members when they join Flint Hill Baptist Church? First, members can express their testimony of a personal love relationship with Jesus Christ. We don't want anybody to join the church that's not a Christian. Members have been obedient to be baptized by immersion. Talked about that last week. Third, members join with the body of Christ for corporate worship, upholding biblical preaching, the administration of believers' baptism, and the Lord's Supper. We talked all about that a couple weeks ago as we took a look at corporate worship. Fourth, members are involved in a small group study to grow in knowledge of the Word of God. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Next, members realize they're part of the body of Christ. They're accountable to others for encouragement and need of church discipline by other members of Flint Hill Baptist Church as outlined in the bylaws. We're committed to one another. We're accountable to one another. Next, members understand that every Christian should have a place of service in the church or a place of service to meet the needs in the world around them, a mission and a ministry. Next, members take personally the command from Jesus to be witnesses where they are and around the world. We commit that we will share our faith. We'll share our faith with our one. We'll be evangelistic. Next, members are faithful to tithe to their church and to follow Christ's example and having a lifestyle of giving. And finally, members of Flint Hill understand that our statement belief is the Baptist Faith and Message 2000. And then we added this phrase, this paragraph. We covenant before God and fellow Flint Hill Baptist Church members to uphold these values in belief and action. With this commitment, we also acknowledge human frailty and the weakness and pursuit of such covenants. While understanding this is God's desire for my delighting in abundant life He offers us in Christ Jesus. We're just recognizing that we all fall short. We all have work to do to work towards this covenant. But we understand this is what God has called us to. And as a member of this church, we're going to work towards it. This is going to be our desire. This is going to be our goal. So that's what our church covenant is. In the days to come, we're going to reevaluate this church covenant. We're going to look at it together as a whole congregation. And we're going to modify it if needed. We're going to examine it and make sure that it reflects all of what we believe our church covenant should be as a church. And then we're going to commit to it. And we're going to say, moving forward from this point, Flint Hill Baptist Church are the committed believers who commit to this covenant. And so you be in prayer for that, and you look for that in the days to come. 4. Biblical church membership is defined. It's defined. It has a certain number of people, those who are in the church and those who are outside the church. Galatians 6:10 says this, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good for everyone, especially those who are of the household of faith." There is defined household of faith. There are members who are part of the household and those who are outside. You can't be put outside the household of faith if you weren't already in the household of faith. 1 Corinthians 5:1 through 2 speaks to that. It says it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that is not even tolerated even among the pagans. For man has his father's wife, and you are arrogant. Ought you not rather to mourn? Let him who has done this be removed from amongst you. We're called to know who is in the body of Christ and who is not. Hebrews 13:7 says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls, as though who have to give an account. Let them do this with joy, not with groaning, for that would be no advantage to you." I am accountable for each and every church member in this building. I am going to have to give an account. And that is a great privilege, and that is a great burden. A great privilege and a great burden. But are all Christians to be accountable to me that are in Fort Mill area? Are all Christians, am I supposed to be responsible for them? No. It's only those who've committed to be part of this body of believers. So that it must be a defined group of people. Are all Christians out there that live around our church, are they accountable to me? No. Only the ones who've committed themselves to be part of Flint Hill Baptist Church. We are called to be a defined group of people. I've heard some say, you know, I'm kind of a member of two churches. There's nothing biblical about that. God calls us to serve in one place, to be committed to one body of believers, so we can be accountable to them and they can be accountable to us. 5. Biblical church membership is loving. John 13:34-35 says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." People will take notice when we love on one another. Hebrews 10:24-25. "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works." I've read the scripture already. "By this, all people will know that you are my disciples." I'm sorry. "Encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near." The sixth aspect of biblical church membership is that we're accountable. We're accountable. We don't like that word very much, to be accountable, but it's important to the life of the church. Hebrews 12:15-16 says, "See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble. By it, many become defiled, that no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal." We hate the word submit or accountable. But when we hold each other accountable, when our brother and sister is going off the path, we are called to call them back up onto the path. When somebody isn't attending, we are called to reach out and say, hey, we're missing you. You need to be back with us. We can't do life together if you're not attending with us. If somebody's in sin, it's our job as the body of Christ to say, hey, in love, this is displeasing to God. You're hurting yourself, you're hurting the church, you're hurting your relationship with Christ. What can I do to walk alongside you to help you out of this sin? When we don't do that, we're actually hurting one another. It's the unloving thing to do. Just as parents are called to discipline their children, hold their children accountable, it's actually the unloving thing when we don't discipline our children, isn't it? When we don't hold our children accountable, it's the unloving thing to do, and the same is true in our church family. And finally, submissive. Just as much as we don't like the word accountability, we don't like the word submit either. But really, that's what Christianity is all about, isn't it? We're submitting our lives to Jesus Christ. We're saying, Lord, I'm not going to live for me. I'm going to live for you. And that works out in all areas of our life as we submit to our spouses, when we submit to authority, when students submit to their parents or their teachers, God receives glory. God's able to work. When we submit to authority, the police or our government officials, God receives glory and He's able to work in our life. And when we submit to one another in the church, God receives glory and He's able to work in our life. You are to submit to me. I am to submit to you as a congregation. The deacons are to submit to you. I am to submit to the deacons. We're to submit to one another. And when we do that, God is glorified and He's able to work in our lives. So that's quite a list, isn't it? Church membership is important. It's my prayer that as we move forward as a church, that we will have such a passion, just like Mount Carmel Baptist Church did, that we are committed to one another, that we understand the church is not this building, but it is our relationships that we have with one another, and that we are all in on God's purpose for us and for His church. Did you know that several people in Mount Carmel Baptist Church said the greatest thing that ever happened to their church was for it to be burned down to the ground? Because it made them realize what church truly was. It was relationships. And it rekindled that understanding and that purpose of what God desired for them. Now, Lord forbid, I pray this church does not have to be burned down for us to understand what God has called us to in church membership. May we commit to one another. May we commit to Christ and His purpose. May church membership be meaningful to us, where we work out our faith in the context of this body of believers, where God can be glorified, because even though we're different, even though sometimes we get on each other's nerves, that we work together and we're the hands and feet of Christ as we move forward. That's my prayer for Flint Hill Baptist Church. I hope it's your prayer as well. May we each commit to it as we walk forward together. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for the example of what You've given us of biblical church membership. Lord, may each of us commit to be part of Your local body of believers and to be all in, to be part of what You're doing here. Not just be observers, not to be passive in our membership, but to ask this question, Lord, if every church member behaved like I behaved, what would happen to this church? Would it have to shut its doors because it can't financially pay for the bills? Would this church reach into its neighborhood if every church member behaved like I did? What would our Bible study classes be like if all of our church members behaved like I did concerning Bible study? Lord, how much power would this church have if every church member prayed for our church like I do? Lord, what kind of ministry would be in place if every church member ministered like I do? What would our worship services look like if every church member worshiped like I do? May we take personally this call to honor biblical church membership. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.